One tail or two?
Welcome, welcome, everyone. We are back and we missed everybody.
I'm already tired.
We just started. Yep. I know, and we have a two-parter today.
You know, it's funny, I was more tired like 15 minutes ago than I am now.
I'm like, because you got food in your stomach.
Probably.
Me and Joe are on this diet. Yeah, let's just call it what it is. It's a diet. Not a very fun one.
But you should tell him why.
I was just going to get to that. So we're on this diet because Joe and I decided to try and be healthy this year. And we're going to go run a terrain race on June 9th.
How far away is June 9th, Sam?
Right around the fucking corner. And
it's like
usually,
2 weeks away.
Yeah. Usually this is something you prepare
months
in advance for. And Joe and I were just like, we got this. We don't need to train
you
months.
You can just say you're doing the high-intensity version.
The HIIT workout.
High-intensity training.
No.
High-intensity interval training.
I have just been working on my endurance, and I thought, you know, maybe if I could just get my endurance up, I will be fine. But I'm now starting to second-guess myself.
Let me know if you throw up.
What if they have like
you're
going
to pull a me on the side, and just take a banana. Just put a banana in your bra.
Oh, God.
Just so you're safe. And be like, Yelly.
I thought of you, Yelly. I brought a banana.
What if they have like
so bad.
I probably might have one after. I don't know about before, because that banana will come back up if I have it before.
No,
you save that for energy for the sugars if you
fudge. So yeah, not happy because I can't eat what I like to eat. I'm a foodie by heart. I mean, come on, we had an Instagram going for Dos Gorditas where we were just our food adventures, and the fact that I'm being limited on my milk tea is causing me to be super bitchy. So
And everything smells so delicious.
It sucks.
So,
but because of that, I'm cheating a little tonight.
They had pork belly pizza at work today, and I was not able to get it. I was just like,
I thought it was supposed to be bacon pizza.
It was pork belly.
That sounds even better.
Yeah.
So in my cheating today, which before we get to this, I'm going to apologize to all of our viewers out there, and I'm sorry for the late episode. I didn't tell you guys. But there was no episode last week.
I thought there was one that you like finally put out like over the weekend.
I'm guessing she didn't because of that smile.
Oh.
I had not fully recovered from my trip from the UK. And I was too fucking tired to want to sit in front of my laptop because I kept passing out. Ask this guy. I passed out.
Well, yeah, your sleep schedule was like 180.
Yeah.
When it was night here.
The moment I would get home after work, I was gone. I was dead to the world. But I will admit, I was usually up at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like 8, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, let's go. But instead of being, you know, productive person and caring about my viewers, which I care about you guys a lot, I decided not to submit an episode last week. And I just did something on Instagram apologizing, and I'm going to apologize to you guys now. And for that, this Friday, you guys are getting a double episode.
Yay.
So, oh, I get it.
Yeah, they're getting
last week's episode.
Yeah, and this week's episode. So, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to apologize 100 times for it. Shit happened. Life got in the way. Yelly had some...
I moved.
Yelly moved. So she lives buttfuck of nowhere like me. Join the club.
It's nice, though.
It is nice. Yeah.
So spare the floggings, please.
The freaking, right. Like, remember at the old house, we'd hear, like, woo-woo sirens, yeah. And then the neighbor's dog being like,
I don't really remember the neighbor's dog, though.
Yeah, I remember the neighbor's dog. When someone would walk by, especially walking their dog.
Oh, that dog.
The dog across the street would just be like,
she's now joined the country life. Welcome. I hope you like it. I've lived the country life all my life, mostly, and
there's
I love it.
Stuff that's like I'm getting used to, and then there's other stuff where I'm like, you saw it today in the morning. Like I came in to work, like my eyes all bloodshot, right? Because like my dad just mowed the lawn,
and you're allergic to everything.
Yeah, and my allergies are just like crazy and not used to anything.
Yeah, so Yelly moved. Life happened. I just came back from the UK. Was not adjusted, and jet lag hit me hardcore. And Yelly had just moved, so it was life got in the way and shit happens, but we're making up for it now.
And jet lag is just barely starting to wear off.
It is barely starting to wear off for me. It's taken me basically a week to recover from this shit, and it is so annoying.
Not last night, but the night before, I was folding the laundry, and she passed out.
I did. It wasn't, it was like
were
not
you
even...
like, Thanks, babe, for helping me fold the laundry. No, you should have just piled everything on top of her to the point where it was just like a laundry mountain. So when she woke up, she would be like, what the fuck?
No,
like,
there were a few times where he made loud noises. And I was like, oh, that probably woke her up.
Nope.
Nothing.
She was like,
I was out. Like I said, I was just so fucking tired. This jet lag is a serious thing. And this is my first time going out of country. And it's such a huge time zone difference for me. So that's why it affected me.
Tell everybody where you went.
Well, I've only been saying it for the last couple episodes. But
yeah, but maybe we have some new
listeners. Let me just clarify to all my new listeners and everything out there, because I did do some sticker slapping out there. I went on a UK sort of trip. I did this kind of...
Are you saying my art's in like Ireland and stuff? Oh, that's so awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Nice. So, yeah, it's all over the place. I went on a 2-week adventure where I started off in Scotland and I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, and fucking loved it there. I stayed there for a couple days. Then I traveled down. I went to York. I went to Cambridge. I went to Stratford. I went to London for a couple days. And then I went to Liverpool also. And after doing that area, I decided we hightailed it to Ireland. And in Ireland, I stayed in Dublin for 2 days. And then I went up to my favorite, most favorite place of the Alice, Belfast, Ireland, where I spent
all day. Why Belfast?
Because Belfast is up in Northern Ireland. And I wanted to experience some part of Northern Ireland. And the best place to me was going to Belfast. And Belfast is fucking gorgeous. Like, and also doesn't help that Game of Thrones was filmed mostly in Belfast, too. I really wanted that experience, mm-hmm. and I had a wonderful time. I got to actually meet Summer and...
Lady.
No, not Lady.
Summer and...
It was Summer and Grey Wind. Oh. I got to meet the dogs that played Summer and Grey Wind, and I got to meet a lot of the extras and actual actors of Game of Thrones. No one to really write home about, too, but they were awesome, to say the least. I'll post some pictures. I went to actual sites where things were filmed and was like
what was the main one that you recognized?
Rob Stark's, when they went to his camp, mm-hmm. in season two, where they're outside of the
Castle Black.
Yeah. Castle Black. And it was the whole area where where they caught the Kingslayer, and they held him captive there. Mm-hmm. And the tree that had the three women that were hanging, and Brianna Tarth wanted to take them down and whatnot. Yeah, mm-hmm. That whole area we went and saw. Oh, and cool. Plus, and then we also saw in season one Winterfell. We actually went to where Winterfell was built and made, and they still have. Well, it was an actual castle. They just built a little bit more on top of it, and it's actually a historical castle that anyone can go and visit. It was fucking gorgeous. I loved it. I had such a wonderful time. I wish I spent more time in Northern Ireland, but I only got a day up there. And then I spent most of my time either in Galway. I also visited the Cliffs of Moher. I went to the islands of the Aran Islands. Fucking gorgeous. I got to go back. Lots of pictures. I'll start posting more pictures for everyone to see.
You need to tell everybody about your haggis.
Oh, fuck yes. Haggis. Haggis is bomb.com. Like, just don't look up what's in it. Just fucking eat it and you will love it.
You should eat it with a blindfold on, because some of it doesn't even look appealing.
Well, when she had those little bites, yeah, they're just the bites, like little
fried meatballs.
The fried meatballs, yeah, those looked amazing. Those were bomb. Like, if you would have just given them to me and just been there, yeah, they're meatballs, and like told me after, I would have been like, wow, my perception on that is
traditional haggis, changed. And then I had modern haggis. More modern haggis is more fried and more made, you know, more delicious and appetizing looking. But then I had traditional haggis with the chef actually coming out and cutting it in front of us, taking it out of the stomach, the whole shebang.
Oh, so ooh. You don't eat the stomach? It's just
no, you eat the stuff that's in the stomach. That's it.
That sounds good, actually.
But can't you eat the stomach too?
You technically can, but the stomach was used as the to hold the material in, to uh-huh. hold everything in, and then you boiled it and you made it and everything. And
I wonder if it was the
binding agent, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder if like the stomach lining actually like gives it a certain like aroma or flavor.
I'm pretty sure it does.
Because to me it smelled good, and to me it tastes wonderful. Like, I wish I could go back just to get fucking haggis. And haggis is only in Scotland. You can't get it anywhere else. Believe me, I tried. But I do miss it. I love haggis. I love
haggis.
The UK period. Didn't have as much fun in London.
Was it goat stomach or sheep, stomach?
It's all sheep. Sheep stomach. Over there is holy. Beyond
sorry
holy.
For our, you know, vegetarian and vegan listeners.
PETA.
Teresa, sorry.
I love you, Teresa. But yeah, I came back with a bunch of knowledge and I feel very edumacated and stories to tell also.
Edumacated.
Yeah, so
educated.
We'll wrap that up really quick. If you guys really have any other questions or anything, maybe I'll do
slip
another
into
episode.
Her DMs.
Right, you can just slide.
You're gonna have to
DMs.
You're gonna have to give us like a portion to in a later episode, like on a paranormal episode
of all the paranormal stuff that's over there, because I did a lot of paranormal stuff over there.
Yeah,
and
I'm
I
jelly.
Looked up a lot of murder super stuff jelly. Too, and legends. There are some legends out there too. And you have to listen very carefully when these people talk, because their accents, as sexy as it is, are very different in different regions and are hard to understand from time to time. So anyways, so besides that, laugh happened. Yelly moved. She lives out in the country. Oh, yeah. She's adjusting to that. As for my cheat day today, I have decided that I'm going to have.
No. No.
I feel like she's going to have a sip and then be like, I'm done with it.
Probably.
Knowing Sam.
I'm having a Pepsi.
No, it's Pepsi.
I Pepsi.
Oh, wow. That got kind of erotic there.
Yeah.
Aging it up.
What's a Bob's it's Burgers? So sex sells. Yeah, let's go find some sex and sell it.
Bob's Burgers.
So I'm having Pepsi. Obviously not tea. But Joe,
it was brewed in one way or another.
Joe, what tea are you having today?
I am drinking the Embrace by Numi, and it is an organic tea, and it is a hibiscus tea with floral rose, stimulating cinnamon.
Stimulating.
And
like
it has
graces with his presence.
Warming cloves in it too. Yeah, it's a good one. I appreciate this one.
Yeah.
If you guys like hibiscus teas, this one is definitely one.
I've noticed you guys have really had this thing for hibiscus tea.
Well, it's like it's gotten really popular now because like a lot of herbal teas are really starting to be.
It's basically Jamaica water.
Yeah, pretty much. Just without all the sugar.
It's no. Yes.
So you know your love for horchata, there's usually this reddish one.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Yeah, it's Jamaica.
Okay.
The Jamaica, yeah. I love the Jamaica.
All right, Yelly, it's what so are you good. Drinking?
I'm drinking raspberry green tea, Kirkland signature brand.
Oh god.
Thank you, Costco.
It's still a tea and it's
bye,
still
Robert.
Is brewed.
It has vitamin enhanced water beverage. Damn enhanced it, with B and C vitamins.
Right.
Ooh, but I like it because it has zero sugars.
Yelly
does it really have zero sugars?
Yeah.
It is good.
Let me see this.
I think.
Let me see this.
Actually, let me see. Yeah, it sees.
Let me.
Oh, 0 calories per serving.
Let me see this.
Probably not sugars. Don't get away. Drink your damn soda.
I'm having salsa again. I miss this.
I actually don't know what this is made of.
This doesn't say in the ingredients.
It says like a whole bunch of stuff that I can't read.
Let me see.
That always scares me. But it's good.
Okay, here's it's the ingredients. Good. First off.
Let's see how well she pronounces these. Yeah, see, I gave
that
same thing.
This is for 2.5, by the way.
2.5 what?
So this is for
2.5 servings.
This is for technically almost 3 people.
Not necessarily
she's calling
for
me fat that I'm as big as 3 people.
Not necessarily.
I'm not saying you're as big as 3 people.
For 3 people, but like, you could have it
but
throughout
it has
the
zero
day.
Calories.
Okay. I'm going to try this. Ingredients. Water. Natural flavors. Citric acid. Natural tea flavors. You know, I like how they says this is raspberry and green tea, but I have not yet read.
Keep reading.
Okay. magnesium lactate.
I love me some lactate.
in a tea, though?
I don't know.
Ascorbic.
It tastes really good, though.
Ascorbic acid?
There you go. Ascorbic acid, also known as
like
vitamin
how Joe
C.
Knows.
Tea powder, black and green tea.
See, there you go.
Tea powder. That's the shit that they sweep off the floors.
Or like the, after they grind it.
Right? Let's put this all in something right there.
It's all in the air. They're catching right. it. This counts, right? That's how it's zero calories.
Sorbicose?
Wafting the bottle through the air.
Carrot and blueberry juice color, vitamin E, niacinamide. It's also B3. Zinc. has zinc. Gum
Arabic or something.
Yeah, gum Arabic. Calcium. Platothenate. Also B5. Ester gum. Potassium. Vitamin A. And a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. A bunch of other stuff.
Good luck with that.
Let's read what's in your soda, Sam.
Okay, what is in Pepsi?
Actually, I think there's less ingredients in the Pepsi.
I know.
Pepsi. Oh, God, there is less. wait, where is it?
I think it's going to have a little asterisk. Please see online database. Oh,
there you go. So it's carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup. At least I can pronounce these things. caramel color, sugar.
You were saying about being able to pronounce things.
formic acid, caffeine, citric acid, natural flavors. Caffeine contains 38 milligrams.
I like how caffeine is like an actual ingredient inside the Pepsi.
And this is one serving. Yeah, so that's what we're drinking and I'm still snacking.
You know, we never really clarified how many sugars were.
Oh, how many of them?
Yeah. Really? Oh, okay. That's good.
That's why I'm just like.
That's good. So you can drink it in one sitting and not feel guilty about it.
Not 100%.
Not 100%, but still.
Okay.
Okay.
And we totally forgot to say this.
It has 210% of vitamin C. Mm.
Okay.
That's good.
That's a lot of percent.
You need that. You need that C. Give you that C.
I do have that C.
Okay.
What about the D?
It has no D.
That's sad.
It has A, C, and E, and B6, and B12.
But no D.
You need that D.
It has zinc, though.
Zinc?
I got that Z, not that D.
All right. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are covering Week of the Myth.
I'm still trying to find the goddamn sugars in this thing.
If you can't find it, it's probably not a good thing.
I know, right? It doesn't list the sugars because it's a...
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that Kirkland Signature had their... If you are not completely satisfied with this Kirkland Signature product, your money will be refunded.
Drink everything and be like, not satisfied.
I'll be like, it didn't tell me the sugars.
Right? I need to know this shit. Yeah. Okay. Is it gluten-free?
Fuck am I supposed to know?
It usually
says zero sodium, zero carbs, zero total fats... But then that's like, where's the rest of the ingredient or the nutrition list?
I feel like you're being lied to.
What was that you were mentioning about the packaging... visiting the website about like actual ingredients and stuff?
It's like melted down fruit, the Flintstone vitamins.
Oh, that's gross.
I actually like the Flintstone vitamins.
That's gross. My mom used to punish us with that. So, but again,
you also don't like the emergency or the airborne or anything like that.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I like emergencies.
La nasty.
Me too.
All right. So, it is Week of the Myth.
Week of the Myth.
Yelly, it's your week.
It's my week.
Myth. Myth week.
Myth week.
What
are we covering? Well, Joe, who do you want to go first? Me or Yelly?
I don't have a coin to flip.
I think Sam should go first, and then I should go to give Sam a break before she has to go get.
Yeah, actually, that's a fair point.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam. I had a feeling that was going to be the case, actually, and that's why I had the laptop ready in front of me.
That's good. That's good.
As you all know, it is Week of the Myth, and today I get to go first. Don't fall asleep on me, y'all.
No, I'm okay. I'm good.
I am awake right now.
Got some green tea.
I am covering Bloody Mary.
That's nice, but you didn't say in front of a mirror, so
I know that doesn't count.
In the dark,
yeah.
In the bathroom.
Yeah. So everyone has heard about the myth of Bloody Mary, right?
She's just so eager to do her murder.
So much girth in that myth.
Oh my god! So, yeah.
So much girth.
Okay,
in that
so
murph.
Everyone has heard about the myth of the Bloody Mary. Everyone has been told, you know, don't stand in front of your mirror in the middle of the night with the lights off and repeat Bloody Mary 3 times. She'll come and she'll kill you, right? So this is an actual folklore.
Is this kind of like the Biggie Smalls thing too?
Biggie Smalls. Biggie Smalls. God damn it. Alrighty. So Kelly's like, what?
Did you just call me Kelly? I was about to
ask. I said Yelly.
I heard Kelly.
I thought I heard no, Kelly I said, also.
Even Joe heard Kelly. We have the recording for it. We got to rewind it.
Watch, I'm going to just like play it back. Yelly. You guys are going to think it's Kelly. No, it's Yelly.
Well, said, she's going to
which,
edit.
By the way, I saw the other day.
How's she doing?
Oh, yeah.
She's doing great. Anyways, yeah, Bloody Mary. So, again, okay. So, Bloody Mary is a folklore legend consisting of a ghost phenomenon. Phantom.
Oh.
Or spirit conjured to reveal the future.
Oh.
Initially?
So she's like a fortune teller?
So, she is said to appear in a mirror when her name is chanted repeatedly. The Bloody Mary apparition may be either malevolent or benign. So she may be good or bad, depending on historical variations of the legend. Bloody Mary appears as mostly witnessed in a group participation play. So that's what most people know Bloody Mary is. Bloody Mary is known as the thing, scare the living bitch by go to the bathroom. No, actually there was some good stuff behind it back in the days.
It's kind of like the slumber party thing.
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
it's like the dare, the double dog dare to go and say,
do it or you're chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So, other names.
Are you yellow?
Is there such a bad thing to be a chicken? I mean, chickens lay eggs. Are they're you? Very necessity in life. Like, they make chicken noodle soup. Like,
oh my God.
Is it that bad?
No.
It's kind of like the other day, Jumbo and I were talking. He was like, I didn't know pussy. I was like, hey, pussies are very strong, okay? They give birth. They bring the magicalness of your, like, self. Being like, ah.
So,
nothing else can do that. No.
I was watching Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Vaginas are bomb and they belong to women. Thank you. Okay, so other names that Bloody Mary is also known to go by. Sorry.
I just
wanted to touch you. So Bloody Mary, obviously. Blood Bones, Hail Mary, Mary Worth, Mary Worthington, Mary Wales. Mary Johnson, Mary Lou, Mary Jane, Sally, Kathy, Agnes, Black Agnes, Aggie, and Servant Madam.
These are all different names that she's had throughout?
Yes.
Interesting.
So yeah, these are just a name a few. There's actually a shit ton of them, but these are the most common ones.
Okay.
So, of course, saying or chanting Bloody Mary, some say the number varies. I've always been told it was only three.
Yeah.
You just have to say it three times.
Like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. But with her, apparently there are other chants where you have to say her name up to 13 times before you get a response from her. So the numbers have always varied, but the one thing that's kept in common is the mirror. You have to have a mirror. So, and it's mostly people know her as summoning a vengeful spirit. A vengeful ghost, a vengeful spirit.
Uh-huh.
So, here's the ritual. Here's some history behind the ritual. So, historically, the ritual encourages young women to walk up to a flight of stairs backwards, holding a candle and a hand in the mirror. In a darkened house, as they gaze into the mirror, they're supposed to be able to catch a view of their future husband's face. There was, however, a chance that they would see a skull, also known as the Grim Reaper, instead, indicating they were going to die before they had a chance to marry. So that's where Bloody Mary came and originated from. So
you ever hear of the game? I think it's called the Midnight Game or something like that. The whole like being in a dark house with only a candle and a mirror. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit too.
I've vaguely heard of it, but not all the way. So yeah, but this was back in the day before electricity, and they had to hold a candle. And back then, women, they did a lot of stupid things to try and keep themselves entertained. And one of them was, well, let's find out what your husband is. Kind of like, you know, back in our days when we were in high school, we had the little doohickey.
I remember the house thing where you type out house and you're like, give me three of the people's names you like.
They have crushes
what
on.
What kind of three cars would you like? And you like go around.
Yeah. This was that back then. You walked around with a mirror conjuring spirits of who am I going to marry or am I going to fucking die before it. Mm-hmm. So that was back in the day. So in the ritual of today, Bloody Mary allegedly appears to an individual or group who will ritualistically invoke her name in the act of damn this word. Catotromancy? Also known the deviation of a mirror. So you're summoning through a mirror. This is done by repeatedly chanting her name into a mirror placed in a dimly lit or candle lit room. In some traditions, the name must be repeated 13 times in some other or some other specific number. The Bloody Mary apparition allegedly appears as a corpse, witch, or a ghost, and can be friendly or evil, and is sometimes seen covered in blood, hence Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. The lore surrounding the ritual states that the participant may endure the apparition, may be screaming at them, cursing at them, strangling them, stealing their soul, drinking their blood, or scratching their eyes out. Mm. So some variations of the ritual calls Bloody Mary by a different name. They call her Hail Mary or Mary Worth as another popular example. There's also a modern legend of Bloody Mary, and it's a Japanese spirit, and it's called Hanako-san. And
wasn't that the one in the ring?
I'm not sure. But the modern legend of Hakono-san in Japan strongly reflects Bloody Mary, mm-hmm. Bloody Mary mythology. Now, a little more on Hakono-san. Hakono-san or Tori or Hano-san, which is weird because Hako is means toilet in Japanese.
I'm guessing it's the O, like the pronunciation of the O.
Yeah, and so in the Japanese urban legends about a spirit of young girl who haunts school bathrooms.
Kind of like Myrtle.
Yeah, like a
Moaning Myrtle. Myrtle. Mm-hmm.
So, and she works with another legend closely related to a Japanese witch. Claim! His name is Akamanto. And I want to claim him. He's very, very interesting. I didn't want to get into detail here because I want to put him in a separate episode. But those two work closely together to kill people. Huh. One helps the other. Well, more like the girl is trapped and he's like, y'all's. So, yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I will cover both of them and a later date on another myth episode. But they are kind
of... Sam's calling dibs on a future episode.
Yes, I am. So they are kind of like the Japanese version of Bloody Mary. Mm. Another where Bloody Mary originated from was the English Queen Mary I, who's also known as Bloody Mary, whose life was marked by the number of miscarriage and false pregnancy, and is remembered of her violent religious reform. She was also a British queen who would kill young girls so she could bathe in their blood and preserve her youthful appearance. So, yeah. This is something I might cover in murder eventually.
It kind of reminded me of the member in...
The Coven.
Yeah.
American Horror Story Coven, I think that was actually based off of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is based off of that because this is something I'll probably cover in like a murder thing about Queen Elizabeth and her reign of terror and her blood lust, mm-hmm. her lust for blood. So yeah, they slowly like a little bit based Bloody Mary off of Queen Elizabeth. So Mary is said to have been a witch and was executed 100 years ago for playing in the black arts, or a woman of more modern times who died in a local car accident in which her face was mutilated. Uh-huh. But no one could really know what the true origins of Bloody Mary is. Like,
where did it all
come from? Some say it was, you know, Queen Elizabeth. Some say that it was, again, a witch who died. And then some say it was someone who was in a car accident. So the story always seems to change, and it was hard to find anything actual to point down. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a number of different ways to summon her. Summoning Mary requires the right chant. I believe in Bloody or Mary Worth is a key phrase according to some, while others say, Kathy, come out. Or they just keep repeating Bloody Mary in the mirror as many times as the ritual demands. Some say you have to taunt Bloody Mary, such as say, Bloody Mary, I killed your baby. Yeah.
That's messed up.
So because of all the stories behind it, some say that it was a woman, kind of like La Llorona, who killed her babies, or her babies were killed.
I was thinking about that, too. It was La Llorona. I was just like...
Yeah, because they actually mentioned that, too. They're like, oh, here's this story. It closely represents La Llorona. And Bloody Mary's kind of like the English version of it. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, they say you have to taunt her to bring her out sometimes. So...
Because that's always the proper way to summon a ghost.
Right, let's summon a ghost by pissing her off.
Yeah.
Right, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Let's do that, Yelly. Let's cleanse your new house. So there are, requirements of this ritual. So some specifics that a mirror must be illuminated by a single candle, and others there must be a candle on each side. But they say a candle is usually needed to help summon said ghost. Mm-hmm. In some variation, the message to Mary is repeated by just one girl who is either a volunteer or selected by others to summon the mirror witch.
Could you imagine that conversation at a slumber party? You drew the short straw, so you gotta go and summon her.
That kind of sort of happened to me once.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Kind of sort of happened.
Do tell.
I don't know. I didn't really get invited to a lot of slumber parties, but there was one time I went with my friend Lauren, and we were trying to scare the living shit out of her little brother.
Damn it, Lauren.
I love to do. Santos, I still miss you. probably doesn't listen to this, but I used to torture the living shit out of her brother. Because, you know, that's just me. And we kind of played around where something happened. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's something in there. Santo, she's going to get you. And he was like, I fucking hate you. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, it was very creeperish. So, like I said, there were some requirements, usually involving candles and a mirror. And, of course, the number or chance or number of things that you have to say always changes depending on the region. Mm-hmm. So, what Bloody Mary does upon arrival changes too, and it changes a lot. She may strike her summoner to death, she may drive them mad, or she may fiercely scratch at their face.
Oh wow.
She may merely appear she may even come out of the mirror, and she may drag you back into there to live with her. Yeah. So it
just all, to live with her though? She's like, I need a roommate.
Apparently so. Like, it's expensive to live here.
It's embarrassing.
Right? It's too expensive. You need to be my roommate. So, yeah. And depending on what you want to believe or however it is, it changes all the time. Actually, Supernatural did a story on Bloody Mary. And she was a vengeful spirit. So I dug deep into it. And I looked for accounts of things that actually happened to people. Uh-huh. The list is a little small, but there was trying to weed out all the people who were just shits and giggles versus people who actually had things happen to them. So these are the accounts I read online. Mm-hmm. The Bloody Mary legend was common when I was a kid in the early 1970s. We typically performed the ritual in a bathroom because the bathroom of our suburban house had large mirrors and was easily darkened even during the day since they had no windows. A familiar Bloody Mary story was one about a girl who supposedly ended her incantation with a spiteful, I don't believe in Mary Worth, then tripped over the door jamb while exiting the bathroom and broke her hip. Ooh. So this is an actual story of accounts of what happened to people. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the bathroom, and this is another one, if you go into the bathroom and look into the mirror with the lights off in the room completely black and say Bloody Mary 13 times, a woman will appear and scratch your face up or off. I was told if you said Hail Mary 7 times in front of a mirror in a dark room, you could see Satan's image in the mirror. Ooh. The story was established further by the teller who claimed that after 3 Hail Marys, the mirror turned red, and then after 5, an unclear face appeared. She died within a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they took that one as an account. So here's how, and then here's another one. Here's how I always heard the story. You go into the room with a mirror and turn all the lights off. This works well in a bathroom. You begin to whisper and to chant Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. As you continue to chant, your voice should grow louder and louder to a near scream. When you're chanting, you should be spinning around in a medium rate and taking glimpses into the mirror at each pass. Near the 13, she should appear. A friend of mine said that her roommate tried this and ran out screaming from the bathroom. She was shaking and appeared genuinely terrified and refused to talk about her incident. But those who were around her when she came out noticed that she had fingers coming down from the side of her face all the way to her back.
Wow.
Like claw marks?
Yeah.
Oh.
Coming from her cheek, going down her neck, all the way to her back. And she was obviously covered in blood. So that was another account that happened. And those are really the only major accounts that people have like, I swear this is what's been happening. Mm-hmm. So I actually found something where the phenomenon is explained, like a Mythbusters type of thing where someone actually proved this wrong. Uh-huh. And so staring into a mirror into a dimly lit room for a prolonged period can cause one to hallucinate. So fate features may appear to melt, distort, disappear, or rotate, while other hallucinatory elements such as animals or strange faces may appear. Mm-hmm. So someone by the name of Giovanni Caputo of the University of Inverno writes that this is a phenomenon. There you go. Phenomenon, which is called the strange face illusion. It is believed to be a consequences of distorted identity effect, which caused the brains to basically distort what they see in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, why? Well, how does that cause people who get physically injured? How does that happen? And he says, well, when this is happening, it can cause someone to kind of go into a panic mode and not realize that they're causing injury to themselves.
Oh.
It's kind of putting themselves like in a self-hypnosis type of state.
Especially the spending?
Exactly. So he says, and these are his words exactly, I think. So, yeah, so basically it says he puts you in a self-hypnosis in which a human conducts it basically forces them to become someone else. Mm-hmm. And
like a hypnosis
thing? Yeah, they don't know that they're doing it. So that's what he's saying is what they're doing. When they're doing this, they're actually putting themselves into a mini hypnosis, making their mind believe that someone actually did that to them and does self-harm to themselves. That is what it's believed to cause it. So I was just like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. Whether it's true or not, people say, oh, that sounds right. Then there's some people who are like, no, she was really there. She attacked me. So...
What? How long
well, especially does... the one that had the big old scratch.
Yeah, that one was weird. I understand, like, if you have it here, but how did she get it all the way on her back when, unless she's, like, a contortionist or something, I don't know how she would it be able to reach her back. Yeah.
How long did they say that you have to actually be staring into the mirror for that to actually start occurring?
He didn't say. He just said that it's kind of like you put yourself in a trance type
Joe,
of thing.
Time to test it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, let's
test
not.
That here. Yikes.
No.
I don't like mirrors as much as, yeah.
So. Oh, God.
Let me know how it goes.
We'll film it. Anyway, so yeah, that's what they said. And in popular culture, the legend of Bloody Mary has inspired several movies, television shows, video games, and also a bunch of people dealing with supernatural stuff. Mm-hmm. Bloody Mary has been seen on TV and shown in, you know, movies like X-Files, Supernatural, and tons of novels. So.
Tons.
That's all her name.
Yep, that's bloody fucking Mary for you.
Tons of names.
Yeah, so she's based, her history is... whatever you want to believe, and whatever story you've been told, it was mostly used as a wives' tale to scare the living fuck out of people, mm-hmm. and be like, don't be so fucking vain. Mm. Otherwise, a bitch is going to come and scratch your face off.
So it was more for, like, being vain?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yep.
But it all started off based off of them trying to see their future husband.
Yeah. It based them being like, oh, am I going to get a beautiful husband? Am I beautiful enough? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to walk around with this mirror and bitches die. And my guess is they're not watching their steps and they just fall.
Because they're holding a candle.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're walking up a flight of stairs and backwards in the dark with the only light source being a candle. Yeah. So.
Bitches be crazy. I'm pretty sure they can definitely interpret
bitches
that.
Bitches love spices.
Right, I'm pretty sure they interpret that as like... you know, death. So Joe managed to get the information to this game he was selling me about.
Yeah, it is called the Midnight Game, by the way.
What is it about?
Is it like the dating game one?
No, so basically...
the dating game one?
Well, like, you know in Santa Claus, the first movie with... his name's Tim Allen?
Tim Allen.
Yeah. Where you get to the, like, midnight dating game where you, like... she's like, oh, the midnight dating game. And the guy gets the weenie whistle.
Yeah.
The weenie whistle.
I never got my weenie whistle. But no, it's pretty much a game where you invite an entity to enter your house.
Oh, fuck that.
To play a game. And it pretty much begin. There's like a whole set of rules and stuff that you have to do before actually inviting him. Uh-huh. So the first one is begin prior to midnight. Second step is write your full name, first, middle, and last on the piece of paper with your writing implement. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I guess just a pen. And then it says, prick your finger with a pen and squeeze until a drop of blood appears. Dot the blood on the paper and allow it to soak in. Step 3, turn off every light in your home. Step 4, place the paper with your name and blood on it in the front of the
closed, Yelly, why aren't we doing this right now?
In front of the closed wooden door. Light the candle you using have wooden the matches. Doors. Yeah.
Nope.
She does have wooden doors. And that's actually one of the requirements, too, is you need to have a wooden door for it. And it says, light the candle using the matches or lighter and place it on top of the paper.
I know you have a candle.
Oh, shut the fuck up. We're not doing that.
If you are using a taper, make sure it is placed in a candle holder. And step 5, knock on the door 22 times. The final knock.
Why 22? I know. Though?
I'm not quite sure, but it's part of the rules.
I thought you were going to be like, and one more for 23. And then freaking, what's his face, Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Would be like...
But anyway, the final knock must occur precisely when the clock chimes 12 a.m. Open the door, then blow out the candle. Oh, we can't.
It's already past 12 right now.
Yeah. Then blow out the... Open the
balls.
Balls. Open the door, then blow out the candle and close the door. Relight your candle immediately. And at that point, that is, when you open the door and blow out the candle, that's supposed to invite the Midnight Man into the house.
Oh, so it's a man?
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a spirit or entity.
Wait, no, I heard a spooky scary off of the No Sleep podcast that talks about the Midnight Man.
Yeah.
Let's do it! Yeah,
but...
Oh, you can do it tomorrow at your house and let me know how it goes. Okay.
Okay, so like...
Not here, no, here's the, no, my friend.
The main premise of the game. So you can't allow the candle to go out, otherwise...
He comes out of the room.
He comes out of the room. So basically, they're...
But if you invite him anyways, why are your dumbass going to let it... Like, I don't know.
So, would you rather stay in the room?
Or I'd rather not do it at all so he doesn't come back. I'll be like, I'm sorry, no cookies here for sale. Bye-bye.
So here's Superman the thing, though.
Superman no here.
Here's the thing, though. The game doesn't end until 3:33 a.m. The same time that we post our lovely podcast.
3:33 a.m.
Yeah.
And... So
nice reference, Joe. 1 point for you.
1 point to Team Paranormal for that.
Thank you. But
not even participating today.
I know, and he gets a point.
But anyway,
lucky beesh.
It's recommended that you actually have salt just in case you're unable to relight the candle. You have to relight the candle if it goes out within 10 seconds of it going out. So if you're not able to, the best thing that's recommended to do is to create a circle of salt and stand there until 3 a.m.
Who made up this stupid game? Like,
but it's, you know, come on, Yelly.
Actually, there's an answer to that. So the game was previously called The Three Kings, and it is believed to be, or was previously believed to be, a pagan ritual used as a punishment for those who dare to disobey the gods.
Fuck yeah.
Did you guys watch the Sabrina?
I haven't watched second season.
Well, they have like the three kings, which are the three demons.
Yeah, let's not go by what Sabrina, the teenage fucking witch, falsifies it is.
But I'm just saying they have a episode where they have the three kings, and I was like, I wonder if it's like related to this.
Probably.
Could be. Mm. But there are also a lot of things to not do during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, and the last one is going to get you guys. So the first one is
a knee slapper.
Do not turn on any lights during the game. Do not use a flashlight during the game. Do not go to sleep during the game. Do not use a lighter instead of a candle during the game. Do not use another person's blood other than your own during the game. Do not attempt to leave your home during the game. Do not attempt to provoke the Midnight Man during the game. And most importantly...
I feel like it's just more paranoia, like...
It could be, but...
Like, because there's all these set rules, you're like, I can't do this, I can't do this. And like,
I just want to put on a fucking movie or something, because I'm going to be sitting there for like 3.5 hours.
But you can't turn on a light.
But the thing is that you have to continuously move throughout the house so you can confuse the Midnight Man of your exact location. And
but you have a fucking candle.
Yeah, the candle. Like, the candle is supposed to help ward him away. But the thing is that if the candle happens to,
but the candle has to stay in front of the door, not with you, right?
No, it has to stay with you.
Oh,
the candle.
These rules are too complicated.
Like, that's tiring. Yeah. Walking around for 3.5 fucking hours.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing, though. In complete darkness with only the candle.
If you're unable to relight the candle within 10 seconds, that's where you have to stand still and circle yourself with salt. otherwise...
Isn't this kind of like the insomnia game?
Kind of, but...
Because don't they just have just a candle that they're holding and everything's dark and wooden doors everywhere?
I haven't played it. There was actually a game that was based off of this, and there are several stories online on like people...
Listeners, if I'm going to provide a link for wherever Joe's reading this from... And if someone actually does this, let me know how it goes. Please let me know how it goes.
Anyway, so...
Last thing I need is, like, someone DMing you and be like...
So the last thing you're not supposed to do, okay? Assume that the Midnight Man has left your home for the good at the conclusion of the game. So even if you finish the game alive, there's still a possibility that he stays in the house with you. Like... forever. Like there are stories.
Then that's not a game. That's just you inviting some unwanted invited person in.
And it's funny too, because there's a story online where this guy had gone to this girl's house and was spending the night, and he woke up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and turned around and saw like this like 10-foot figure standing in the corner by the bathroom.
Oh yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And he turned around and didn't see anything there. And he like went to the girl's room and was like, oh, do you have a roommate? And she was like, oh no, that was the Midnight Man.
So she was playing.
So she had played it, moved, and the Midnight Man followed her to her other place of residence.
I like how she was like, no, he plays around too.
It kind of reminds me of was it with you that we were listening to Don't Sleep podcast?
Uh-huh.
And the girl was like locked in the room and she couldn't get out because that thing was keeping her there.
Oh, that was the Friendly Man.
Oh, there you go. The Friendly Man.
Yeah, that was a different one.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. But anyways, yeah, Joe, send me the link and I'm going to post that up there for people. If you guys decide to do this, I'm not saying you should.
Please don't.
There is that same podcast that was in the earlier episodes. There was a guy that played the game and I didn't get it because I didn't know it was that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, it's the Midnight Man. I guess it's that. And then he's talking about it's just him talking about like all the like spooky stuff that happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I thought it was just a game, and then apparently, yeah. And then he related it a lot to his dog would sense it too. Like the dog kept staring out. Like,
oh yeah, animals have that sense for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but yeah, I'll post a link if you guys do this. You don't have to, but if you guys do it,
please don't.
Let me know.
Please don't be a yelly. Please don't.
let me know. Don't be shy.
Highly recommend not to. You don't want to play with that stuff.
Wink, wink. Anyways, we're going to move on.
You instigator. No, last thing I need is you getting a freaking email from some parent being like, my kid listened to your podcast and tried
adult
this stupid game.
Advisory. We are at 18 plus if you're listening to us if you're younger. Right on. But don't do it.
There's also a video game based off of this too, where you have to follow these exact steps.
Creepy VR one that Markiplier played, right? Like, if it was the little girl, you had to, like, stare at her.
Emily Wants to Play.
Kind of reminds me of that, because each one has its own fucking rules.
Yeah.
I would fucking hate it. That's why I'm kind of scared of some of the new VR.
Buy it for Yelly and have her play it.
I still need to buy the
Dead by Daylight and have you play that and stream that.
We've played Dead by Daylight.
Is it Dead by... No. Yeah, Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight? Or are you thinking about Outlast?
You're thinking about the...
are you thinking about Outlast?
No, the one with the Wendigos.
Where you have to... With the Wendigos.
Oh, you're thinking...
That's a PlayStation one. That's a...
It's also on Steam. Dawn.
Till Dawn?
Till Dawn, Until Dawn. Yeah, Till Dawn. Yeah, I still need to buy that thing.
Seen like one outcome... of someone's, but it was like a scene because I got so scared because I was like kill it and I was like, that thing's so creepy, and then I was like, I'm done with this like,
all right, well,
apparently there's like hella different ways, and yes, you can, like,
there are like 10 different endings for that one. I got nightmares. The second to best ending, because I let one of my people die because the bitch deserved it. So so now that my story's over, what you got for us, Yelly?
I got something a bit more...
a little bit more on the uppity side?
Yeah, a little more on the uppity side of my fabulous, mythical...
Fabuloso? Tell us how fabulous it is.
Totally fabuloso. This is the myth of the legendary unicorn.
Yay!
It's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
It's like perfect timing, because I just came back.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is the unicorn?
First, I have a question for you. What do you call a unicorn with two horns? Come on, Sam, try.
What do I call a unicorn? Well endowed?
With two.
Well endowed. Wow. Double sided.
Double. Joe. I don't know if we can top Sam down. That one was pretty good.
Well endowed.
It's a duplicorn.
That's
going to
be just
what? A duplicorn?
Duplicorn. Courtesy of Pinky Malinky Show. I love that show. Have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's fucking weird because the main character is a weenie.
What the?
Oh, that show. It's on
Netflix. Yeah, I really like it. But I love how positive and happy he always is. So I was just like, Pinky Malinky. Yeah. But they had that joke and I was like, I have to put this in there. But yeah.
Yeah, some had a thing of unicorns or something.
Continuing on.
Continue.
Do you believe in unicorns, Sam?
I do.
Do you, Joe?
And I'm going to say this one thing. If you go to Scotland and say you don't, you will die.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Let me get there when we get there, Sam. Jeez, I wanted to get a little cheese and crackers. I wanted to get a little audio clip of the Despicable Me one where he's describing his like, yes, only a maiden of true pure in heart like can capture the mythical unicorn in the forest. So typically, the appearance of the mythical beast, the legendary unicorn, usually they portray them as large and white horses with a long pointed horn protruding from their head. And this is a lovely big picture that I printed out for
it's
you guys
so
to see.
It's so pretty and it's in color.
It's so colorful thanks to Bender Color.
Why does he look constipated?
He's supposed to be like relaxed.
Okay.
Because of the fair virgin maiden.
So why is he so tiny? Is he like a miniature?
I was just missing that picture, depiction pony. Of that picture.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, I have 1,001 questions, apparently.
It's the picture is based off of, it says, the gentle and pensive maiden has the power to tame the unicorn by, I can't pronounce this guy's name, Domencino. It was a painting in the sixth
casino,
and it's right now it's in Plazzaro Fonse in Rome, is where Rome. This painting is. It's got like this little like
that's one of
super paley, old school maidens that supposedly are supposed to be represented as virgins and pure and true of heart and stuff, and the unicorn is supposed to be like, you're the only thing that can tame me, even though they're supposed to be badass fucking. The death fucking, they're supposed to be like, down in history, they're represented to be the arch enemy of lions, which I will get more into because I know Sam's looking and she's like, you better cover all this fucking skull and stuff. So I was like, okay. So yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. A little bit into the unicorn's history. Unicorns were depicted as ancient seals in the Indus Valley civilization and was mentioned by the ancient Greeks in an account of natural history by various writers. Circes, Strabo, sorry if I'm not pronouncing these right, I'm trying my best. Philly the Young, and for example, also refers to in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
So if
I
it's
thought,
mentioned in the Bible, it has to be true.
I know, right?
The best fictional book of the movie.
We're good. Oh, like, yeah, we're definitely going to have to, like, get some of those people that are going to be angry. Yeah. But a lot of the times in the Bible, they describe the unicorn as being represented as a beast that they called the Re'em. It's just Re'em, as I'm guessing that's
right. Re'em.
Re'em. It's R-E.
Kadish.
Kadish. E-M. Re'em.
Yeah. An accent, though.
And then, like, some of the scriptures and stuff were translated as that's what they considered a unicorn.
Interesting.
I have a little picture of it, too. I'll show you guys later when I get to there.
No, now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a little asterisk to explain a little bit more. And the Re'em, it was also called the Re'im, and which it just basically doesn't have the little ugh. Is an animal mentioned 8 times in the Hebrew Bible and a various translation as a unicorn or wild ox. It is translated in some Christian Bibles, translated as to Oryx? Oryx? Oryx?
Oryx?
Oryx?
Oryx sounds
Oryx?
Right.
Oryx. It's O-R-Y-X. Oryx.
Oryx, yeah, I think that sounds accurate.
which was accepted as the, there's like one neighbor. Referent in modern Hebrew as a unicorn, King James Version possibly referred to a one-horned rhinoceros, such as the rhinoceros unicorn, is some of the mentions down in history as that we have.
Save the chubby unicorns.
Yeah. Someone at work has that shirt and I want it so bad.
I've seen it online so many times and I'm like, I should get that for Yelly.
Yeah, I was like, you chubby unicorn. Okay, so I'm going to read a little verse from the statement from the King James Version. It says, Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee? And also, it's got a lot of, like, to thee, to the, so it's old school, like, old school English. Yeah. So, Perna, forgive me if I say thee too many times.
That's fine.
Okay, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by the crib? Cast thou bind the unicorn with band in the furrow. Will you see? Stop. I'm trying my hardest. I'm like, oh, Juliet, is what I feel like.
It seems like Shakespeare. We have to have like another like, book to translate.
Or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great? Or wilt thou leave thy labor with him? Willest thou believe him? That he will bring home thy seed and gather it to thy barn.
Nice. Well Jake, done.
A job 39:9-12. I don't know what that means. I'm guessing that's the verse.
Yeah. That was beautifully done.
I'm sorry. I tried my hardest, but I thought that was kind of cool. I wanted to add a little.
It's boofo Shakespeare.
Boofo.
I'd say that's deserving of a point there too.
It's hard, especially when you're trying to be like, not be like, oh, Juliet, we're happy.
No, we need a book will to translate everything.
Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee? Or abide by thy crib? By thy crib. Search thou, blind unicorn, with band and furrow in the furrow.
Yeah, see, it's hard. I tried my hardest.
It just makes me
You
want
to try it, Joe, to see how good your English is?
It just makes
me wonder.
It's going to be
Joe,
so
go.
Bad, though.
How they used to talk back in the day. It just makes me wonder, like, when did we all of a sudden...
Hearth thee, Sam.
I hearth thee. I think of thy all thy time. Like, when did we went from that to this?
You mean to like, oh my God, like, yeah.
Oh my God. It was not what I thought it would be.
Could you imagine if we tried to mix both of these?
Are thy ow?
Like, art thou?
Like, does thou art specs me? Because like, I thy specs you. And like, are thy, thou, they, them, thou.
Go, Joe, go. Let's see Joe's version.
Oh my God.
And your line is in 3, 1, go.
Will thy unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by the crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with band in the furrow? Or will the harrow the valley after thee?
It just makes you sound like nerd.
I feel like he's trying to be like evil
henchman. Joe talking about the unicorn.
Because his strength is great, or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Without thou believe him that he will bring home thy
You know what?
It makes me just sound like hum-a-dum.
It sounds like very doom and gloom.
Let's leave this to our readers. I will also post this phrase up. And if someone wants to record their also lovely voice at how it's really supposed to be said, send that to us. Yeah. Please send that to us. I will give you cookie points.
I like cookies. I do. But too. I can't have any right now. Sad
well,
face.
Technically, you can.
I can, but I'm not gonna. But I want to.
All right, Yelly, what else you got?
We have Oreos
Continuing
at home.
On.
She has Oreos.
Raham in Jewish folklore.
Oreos at home, too.
Look at the Oreos. I ain't stopping you. I said whatever you wanted.
Break, Oreos.
Sorry, Yelly. I had to bring them
up. It's okay.
Up.
No, it's totally fine.
Oreos. No, I'm fucking serious.
Oh, my God.
Back to the unicorn.
The Raham in the English. The Raham in the Jewish folklore, the Raham was larger than a mountain in their version and could... It could dam the river Jordan with Durga Durga. I'm just so mixed up from the past read that I'm just like, anyways. So apparently in the Raham in the Jewish folklore was larger than a mountain and could dam a river with its dung.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so.
That's a big ass shit.
It's dung the river.
That's stinky.
That's hella stinky. And it says, to survive during the deluge, Noah had to strap its horn to the side of the ark so its nostril could protrude into the ark, allowing the animals to breathe. King David, while still a shepherd, mistook its horn for a mountain and climbed it. And then the Rahim got up, carried David to the heavens. He prayed to God to save him. So a lion passed in front of the Rahim as the Rahim bowed down to the King of Beasts, which is a lion, again portraying unicorns versus lions, which I think is cool.
I just imagine someone just going up and down a
fucking, David, a fucking horn. Yeah. David climbed off.
In what manner?
But here's the funny part that I love about the story. So, like, so first, right, so the big fucking unicorn ox version and their thing bowed down and, like, he's, like, took him up to the heavens and he was like, oh, shit, prayed to God for him to save him because he was up so high. And then he bowed down because God supposedly passed a lion in front of him till the Rahim bowed down to get him down. But now he's face to face with this fucking lion. And then it says, so the lion passed in front of the Rahim. As the Rahim bowed down to the King of the Beasts, David climbed up but was threatened by the lion. He prayed again, and an animal passed. I was like, what a convenience. The animal passed by the lion so it could chase it and leave David unharmed. It's a little tidbit of a...
Why do I hear dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum? Joe knows where that's from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is it from? South Park.
Yeah.
Where they're describing what...
Dum, 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 dum.
What the Mormon. The Book of Mormon. Oh.
Dum, 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 dum. Not bashing on Mormons. I think they're cool.
The Book of Mormon's nice.
I still want to see that.
I have another picture for you guys.
I want to see this regime. Wait.
Let me read it. Some Christian translations once identified the Rahim with the legendary unicorn detailed in a former floor mosaic dating from the year 1213, Basilica in San Giovanni, Evangelistine Rivenera. I thought it looked cool.
No.
It does look cool.
Yeah. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
So there is a lot of like history like of different versions and areas. So I went more in detail with that, and now I have a couple other ones that I just want to like
cover away through
because I decided since you just did your Scotland trip to do more of the Scotland.
Good. Yeah. Impress me.
I will try. Don't be mad if I get it. Okay.
Man, anyways. I can smell that salsa from here, and it smells amazing.
It tastes fucking amazing. Don't because no, it has salt.
Okay. Okay. It's so, poisoned. Another European folklore is the unicorn was often described as a white. This is the part where I was researching and I told you I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, you told me. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's sometimes as described as a white horse-like or goat-like animal with long horn and cloven hooves, sometimes a goat beard. So sometimes, you know, like,
yeah.
Especially like, remember in the last unicorn where they all had the like dingly, like little bits. Yeah. Apparently they had like a Mr. Miyagi mustache or a freaking beard too. The Middle Ages and Renaissance, it was completely described as an extremely wild woodland creature, a symbol of purity and grace, which could be captured only by a virgin, AKA nobody. The last unicorn movie and stuff, all that stuff. So like nobody how she travels. And then in Chinese mythology, it's called the Quilin. A creature of Chinese mythology is sometimes called as the Chinese unicorn. And it kind of looks like just a little mini ass.
No.
With a horn.
Why is it a mini ass?
Because they depict it to be more like smaller. It looks tiny. Like they depicted it more like donkey size.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that
this
ass.
This is it's a pottery unicorn in Northway. Shaheinsing History Museum. I don't think I pronounced that right at all.
Sorry, Chrissy.
Teresa. How do I pronounce this?
Not how you pronounce
it. I tried. I'm sorry.
The Northern Hui Shaheing
History Museum. And you're going to like this bit. Remember your favorite Monster Hunter animal? Japanese? The Kirin is actually called the unicorn.
Yeah.
Yep. And I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, I could put a Monster Hunter reference in here. I was like, Sam's favorite monster in Monster Hunter, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically, the Kirin is also closely represented to the Western style unicorn, where we're imagining it like the white horse, like just basically in the game.
Thunder God.
Thunder God, yes. Is one of its abilities. Okay, now we get to the Scotland.
Yes.
Scotland actually made it its national animal by King Robert in the late 1300s. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Okay, here we go. This is a big bet. Okay, Scotland in heraldry. I forgot. I didn't know what that meant. So it says the system which coat of arms and other armorials bearings are devised, described, and regulated.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The unicorn is best known as a symbol of Scotland. The unicorn was believed to be a natural enemy of the lion, mm-hmm. which again, the lion versus the unicorn, a symbol that the English royals adopted around the 100 years before, and was close chosen because it was seen as a proud and
hearty.
Is there an H in there?
Arthy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Arthy, the H is silent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hearty beast, which would rather die than be captured.
Yeah.
Just as the Scots would fight to remain sovereign and unconquered, two unicorns supporting the royal arms of the king and the Scots, and since the 1707 union of England and Scotland, the royal arms of the United Kingdom have been supported by the unicorn along with an English lion. Two versions of the royal arm. Yeah, I actually have pictures so you guys can see the differences in the coat of arms too.
Nice.
Two versions of the royal arms existed and used in Scotland gives more emphasis in the Scottish elements, placing the unicorn on the left and giving it a crown, whereas the version used in England and elsewhere, it gives the English elements more prominence. But yeah, if you want to show Joe, that way you can see the picture.
I solves it.
They usually depict the, like, mm-hmm. super fucking colorful and majestic.
Super, like, rar.
Yeah.
Okay. Another cool thing that I found was golden coins known as a unicorn and a half unicorn, both with the unicorn on the front and back, or it, as the thing says, obverse, which means the front face of the object. It was used in Scotland in the 15th and I'm guessing it was supposed to be 14th because I wrote 15th and 15th century. Same realm. Carved unicorns were often used as finals on pillars and marquette crosses. So it's basically the cross in the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the devoted that the settlement was royal birth. A royal birth was a type of Scottish birth,
mm-hmm.
which had been founded or subsequently granted to royal charters. A birth was an autonomous municipal corporation in Scotland and Northern England, usually a town or a toon, as Sam said that they pronounce over there. I'm not too very sure. In Scots, a royal charter is a formal grant. Sorry, I had to flip. But page flip, issued by a monarch under royal prerogative. As letters penned. Historically, they have been used to promulgate public laws. The most famous example being the British Magna Carta picture of the Royal Charter. Yeah. And this is the Royal Charter. I picked this one because it's fancy and it also has the unicorn on it as well, too.
With the lion, yeah.
Yeah.
That sigil's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's just young.
What's that? That's cool.
Some Magna Carta, royal degree of the Scottish bagpipe, yes, for our background sounds. This charter specifically was granted by King George VI in 1827, establishing King's College in Toronto, now the University of Toronto.
In Canada?
No! It's like,
Sorry, you said Toronto.
I know, I did it too. I was just like,
when did we switch
places? Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Sugar Cube. I wanted to show this particular charter because there's a picture on the seal and it was a lion on the left and all that stuff on the unicorn on the right. A number of seals seemingly depict the unicorns have been found in the Indianess Valley civilization seals with designs that are throughout the mark of the high social ranks. The lifestyle of the rich and the famous is what I put. So basically, these little stone markings also meant like...
royalty.
Yeah. But if you notice, this one is also like, this is where they depicted it with the ramp. But then this one, they identified these as unicorns because they saw this horn, but this is also mistaken as it's supposed to be the horn because it's supposed to, they would consider oxes and the Raham were, and they thought, oh, it's a one-horned thingy, but it has that little second one and people were like, oh, it's only got one horn. So that's why, I thought that was kind of cool. And that was, they call it the unicorn seal of the Indian Valley, which is displayed in Indian Museum at India, the Indian Museum in India.
India.
Okay, yeah. So the, remember how I was talking about how it, they represented a different animal? So they're representative, it's called the Aruchus, which is a type of large wild cattle formerly inhabited in Europe, Asia, and throughout Africa.
Interesting.
Asia and Africa?
I can't. Is that how you pronounce it? Did I pronounce it right?
Aruchuth? Yeah.
Aruchuth. Yeah. And Africa, Joe.
Africa.
Africa. Okay, continuing on to Greek mythology. Surprisingly, the unicorn isn't found in Greek mythology, but more in accounts of natural history for them. Natural historians were convinced that the reality of unicorns, they believed that unicorns lived in India.
So only in India could you find a unicorn.
Apparently, a distant Nabil. And fabulous realm of them. Theseus. Is the sea silent?
Indian.
Theseus had an earliest description in his book Indinka on Dinka? India, describing them as wild asses.
I'm gonna go with thirsty ass.
But yeah, he would.
It's gonna be referred to as thirsty ass.
Thirsty ass because he would describe them as wild asses.
Hexy.
They were fleet foot and having a horn, a cubit and a half, which goes from 700 millimeters and in that is converted to 28 inches in length.
Oh my. That.
Yeah, that's how I remember when I was looking at the pictures. You're like, that's one big ass horn.
It's like.
But I took it. I was still thinking of thirsty ass, and then you were telling me
28 inches.
28 inches in that thirsty ass. That wild ass.
Oh, man. Good times. That's but a good time.
For him, they were colored. The horns were colored red, white, and black. Theseus got. We're going to go with Theseus. That's his name now. I'm sorry if it's wrong.
Theseus
got the information while living in Persia. Unicorns are a relief sculpture have been found in an ancient Persian capital of Persepolis in Iran. That doesn't make sense. Oh, no, it does. Okay. And then Aristotle, a philosopher during classical period in ancient Greece from the 384 to 322 BC, who was the founder of the Lyceum? The Lyceum or I can't pronounce these. I fucking hate these names. Help me read my English.
Lyceum. Yeah.
Lyceum.
Lick him.
So I'm just going all fucking thirsty. Was the temple dedicated to Apollo?
Oh yeah, Lyceum for sure.
Apollo, aka the wolf god.
Are we talking about Hexy right now? Because it's like...
He's going to listen and be like, ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's me.
Hexy, this is all you. Fairy, you're Lyceum and you're thirsty ass.
Anyways, he must have been following him because there's this when he mentioned two one-horned animals, the oryx, a kind of antelope, which it refers to this one, but the one before referred to it as an ox or wild ox. Or not ox. What was it?
A rhino.
No, remember I referred to the...
A goat?
The Ethium. It's a wild, like, large beast or something. There was a different version of it. Yeah, whatever. Okay, but in his version, he refers to it as a kind of antelope. And they so-called it the Indian ass, is what they would call. There's too much ass. See, that's why when I was doing this, I was just like...
I'm listening. This is... Remember, Team Butts here.
Doesn't smell like
curry. And then Strabo, a Greek geographer, philosopher, and historian who also lived in Asia Minor during the translation period of the Roman Republic into the Roman Empire, says that in the carcasses there were one-horned horses and stag-like heads. Philly the Elder mentions the oryx and the Indian ox. They think he was talking about rhinoceroses as one horned beast, as well as they were very fierce animals in the Monocreros, which has the head of a stag and the feet of an elephant and the tail of a boar, which sounds like a rhino. Yeah. While the rest of the body is like that of a horse, it makes a deep, low noise that has a single black horn which projects in the middle of its forehead. Size is about 35 inches in length.
Fucking rhino. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a picture of one of those rhinos that they were talking about, and they used to like horn straight up. Rhino.
Oh, damn.
35 inches. But,
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, all inches.
Right, right, Hexy, 35 inches. That's pretty impressive.
Did you know that the horn of a rhino was made out of the same material as your thumbnail or fingernails?
Yeah.
So it's just like a big...
It's called keratin. Keratin.
Yeah. Do you think it's kirin for like Japanese unicorn? So all our fingernails are just unicorn
wanting
horns?
To be unicorns?
Going on into the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, medieval knowledge of the famous beast streamed from biblical to ancient sources, and the creature was various representation as some kind of wild ass, goat, or horse.
That wild ass!
Medieval bestiaries compiled the late antiquity and known for the popularized the elaborate allegory. I can't read these. It's too late. Okay, let me start over. Woosa. Popularized an elaborate allegory in which the unicorn trapped by the maiden, represented as the Virgin Mary, stood for the incarnation. As soon as the unicorn sees her, it lays its head on her lap and falls asleep. This became a basic emblematic tag that underlines the medieval notions of the unicorn, justifying its appearance to every form of religious art. Interpretations of the unicorn's myth focus on medieval lore of the beguiled, charmed, or enchanted someone's lover. Whereas some religious writers interpret the unicorn and its death as the passes of Christ. Actually, you can't kibiji because there are some other aspects of art where the unicorn is like, get it? Because it's represented as an ass. I got you there. And then
I don't know what it is about the Virgin Mary statue, but it kind of creeps me out a little bit.
It kind of reminds me of Mama.
Oh.
No, like... I don't know what it is. I think it's just the fact that the
oh, because it's creepy and it's like
yeah, and it's like there's a vacant. It's like a vacant.
That's the
stare.
Virgin Mary you're talking about. Respect.
Apparently, and she's creepy.
Yeah, this is just a like a sculpture version of it's the Virgin Mary holding a unicorn, and it was from the 1480s. Detailed an annunciation of the unicorn, National Museum in Warsaw. Yeah. That's kind of accurate.
Like, so, that's what it reminds me of.
It does a little bit, yeah.
Going into a little bit of the actual unicorn horns, which I thought is sort of fun, super cute.
We should.
So, Shuriken, did you know that the unicorn, tameable only by virgin women, as well as established in the medieval lore times by Marco Polo?
Marco Polo?
Polo, basically. Described them as scarcely smaller than elephants.
So they're a little bit smaller than elephants? In the Renaissance, okay. So they were giant.
Smaller than elephants. I'm guessing, because he's also like, it was another philosopher that also was describing a rhino, in short sense. He said that they have the hair of a buffalo and the feet like an elephant's. They have single fucking large rhino. Black horn in the middle of their foreheads. They have head like a wild boar, and they spend their time by wallowing in mud and slime.
Rhino.
And also kind of, I was like, maybe a hippo? Rhino. But then, yeah, the rhino. They're very ugly brutes to look at. They're not as such as we describe them as we late, that they let themselves be captured by virgins, but contrary to our notions. Clearly, Marco was describing a rhino. And I was like, But the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, the homes were very precious in the Middle Ages, and they were often really the tusk of narwhals.
Yeah.
So people would take the tusk of narwhals and create like potions, because yeah. one of the abilities down to the folklore of unicorns is that if their horn touches like poisonous water, they have the ability to be like, cleanse and pacify this holy water.
Interesting. I didn't know so that. So, well, they used to take narwhal horns and yes. say that this was a horn of a unicorn. Yeah. I've heard that before, but I didn't know about the whole. Let me get
there. I was like, but yeah, they would take the narwhal horns. It's just like, and people would try to make potions and antidotes out of the narwhal's like
horn.
But I also thought it was kind of interesting that sometimes people would make the tusks of elephants as well, and they or just ivory of from the teeth of walruses, mm-hmm. and say it's a unicorn horn, and they would make cups and stuff out of it for the yep. royals as presents to them, because you know how people would always yep. try to poison and kill the royals. If you have a unicorn's horn cup,
you can't be it poisoned. Should
clean and purify the thing. So yep. I thought that was kind of interesting as well. That's actually pretty just cool. felt kind of bad for the narwhals, because I'm just like, they're poor narwhals. Yeah. Swimming through the ocean.
Narwhal, somebody narwhal. Needs a narwhal blast to the face.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but when I hear narwhal, it just reminds me of Nabil.
I do too, for some reason.
It was because Sam brought it up.
And then...
It's
picture sign time! Name. And pictures! This is when I was supposed to like show you the little rhinoceros unicorn. And the little coat of arms. Oh, and
the crest.
So the crest. I'll see if I can read this upside down. As they appear both versions of the royal coat of arms. Oh, I missed that part. The lion and the unicorn, as they appear both various royal coats of arms of the United Kingdoms. In the Scottish version, shown on the right.
Yep, the right.
You're right. My right. Okay, this one. I'm upside down. Reader's the two right. have switched places and both are crowned. So you see the unicorn and the lion are crowned. And then the little lion in the middle is red. And then I also thought it was cool because Alice in the Looking Glass also refers the unicorn and the lion as well as being...
Yeah. Majestic as fuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I wanted to refer to a couple of unicorn movies Yay! That have come out.
Popular. What unicorns are known as popular culture to this day. Please.
Fabulous. There is one that just came out... this year, I believe, which was The Unicorn that came out on Netflix. The Unicorn Store?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Another one is Black Moon. That one came out in 1975. And then Legend has one. That one has Tom Cruise and Tim Curry. And that came out in 1985. You should see Tom Cruise's
hair. I know what movie you're talking about. It's so fabulous. It's old. Yeah. He's like kid movie. Yeah, my aunt showed me that movie when I was young, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on, but whatever.
And then another movie that you might like that a unicorn came out in was, I don't know if you considered it came out in since it was dead when they showed it, is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in 2001. Another is Stardust that came out in 2007.
Yep. The movie is great.
Yeah, I really like
the book, Stardust. The book is amazing too.
I love it. Well, what's his name? Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah, when he's like,
dancing. Yeah.
What Dressed other ones? The Last Unicorn that came out in 1982. This list made me feel really old because I was like, hey, I know all these movies. And I was like, that's 1982. Mm-hmm. And then, there's one that came out just recently in 2018 that's just called The Unicorn. I've never seen that one.
Me neither.
I'm going to have to hunt it down. And then two of my, I said The Last Unicorn already, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Last Unicorn is one of my favorites. And then the other one that was like I grew up like just rewatching it over and over and over was The Fantastic Adventures of Unico. I don't know if you guys ever seen it.
I don't think I've ever
The seen whole it. Freaking animation is on YouTube. But
I know you like, showed me.
Yeah, it came out in, that one came out in 1981.
Wow.
Yeah.
We be old.
And then there's the classic one that everybody loves, that Sam was like, oh my god, is...
Candy Mountain.
Yeah. Charlie the Unicorn released in 2008.
Candy Mountain.
Candy Mountain.
She's a non-believer.
Shut
I wanted to finish on that one and just be like, shun the
numbers. Yeah, we're just gonna end with that ending.
And we're like, fuck, they took my spleen.
Yeah. So that is the end of Myth. So as everyone knows, the unicorn ends in popular culture with shitting rainbows and
it's glitter. Rainbow ice cream poop, okay?
And glitter.
And glitter. And just fabulous and being mystical everyone, and amazing.
Because they're also known as mystical asses. And
chubby rhinos.
And chubby rhinos. Chubby rhinos and mystical asses.
And yeah, that concludes
Week of the Myth.
Week of the Myth.
Yep, with some bloody mystical asses.
Yeah. That one's better, actually. Bloody mystical asses.
That's so bad. Oh, but so good.
I should make that one a shirt. That one needs to be a shirt. That one just needs... a unicorn being like, there's blood all over its ass. Or
Bloody Mary is just like draped over his back.
Oh god. Riding him. So bad. Bloody Mary riding a mystical ass. There you go. Next merch right there. Stay tuned. Thank you guys for sticking with us for this one. And I hope you enjoyed it just as much as we did.
Even though we had a little tangent with the
We always have tangents. They should be used to it now.
That's just us. They wouldn't... Come on. We're tangent history.
Sorry. Tangent.
So we may have big news coming your way. Stay tuned. I'm not going to say what it is, but it could be something potentially big. Stay tuned and wait for it. And we have merch coming. Follow on our social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then we also have a Patreon. If you have any stories you'd like us to read for our listener episodes, which are coming, by the way. We had a little pause on those because I was getting ready to leave. Now I'm back. We're going to hit this podcast and we're going to take off running. And we have a lot of things planned. So stay tuned for that. If you guys want to send anything to us, any stories, you can hit us up on our email, which is teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com, or you can just slide into our DMs. So
slide it in gently, please.
No, not gently, just force that in. So yeah, just keep us posted and I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Stay spooky.
Till next time, Space Cowboys.
Oh, you want me to do my thing too?
No, Joe.
Happy haunting.
There you go.
Stay down. Spooky.
Stay spooky. Yeah, happy haunting. Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.